Thank you. I invite you to stand now for the hearing of the gospel. And this morning it comes from the gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning with verse 14. And Jesus is telling this parable. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless servant, throw him into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. O holy God, we thank you for the gift of this Sabbath day and the opportunity to hear your word read and proclaimed. And I ask, O Lord, that the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially the words of my mouth, would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name, you who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. During the month of October, my plan was to preach a sermon series on Committed to Christ, and how, as disciples and followers of Christ, there are many aspects of our life that we need to turn over to God and be committed to be committed to prayer, to be committed to worship and to scripture reading, to be committed to service and witness, and also to be committed to Christ through a commitment to giving. Next Sunday, the last Sunday of the month, will be our Consecration Sunday. It's our opportunity to make our annual estimate of giving to the church to support the work that we've been doing. And I hope that many of you will join us on Sunday. There'll be a special coffee hour after each service as we look to see how we have been faithful to God in our giving. I missed last Sunday because I was under the weather, and I want to again thank Linda and John for filling in for me. But last Sunday, I would have had an opportunity to talk about being committed to the study of Scripture and committed to worship. I thought about giving you 2 sermons in 1, and then I thought that might overdo it, and you'd like to be home before 1 o'clock today. So I edited last Sunday's sermon a bit so that I could still talk about Scripture and worship. Scripture and worship are both integral to our faith life. It's important that we gather for worship. Worship is more than just coming here on a Sunday morning and sitting in the pews. Worship is our way to bow down before God and to keep God the focus of our activity. We come to be strengthened, but we come to praise God. Several years ago, there was a controversy that bubbled up in the letters to the editor in a local newspaper. A faithful churchgoer had written a letter to the editor that says that he had been going for church for 30-some years, and in that time he probably had heard maybe 3,000 sermons. And he wrote in this letter to the editor that he couldn't for the life of him remember one of those sermons. And so he thought that going to church was a real waste of time, and the preachers were wasting their time delivering a sermon every week. Well, as you can imagine, that started a letter-writing campaign to this local newspaper that the editor was really thrilled about because subscription costs were up. But finally, after a couple of weeks of this interchange in the letters to the editor, one last letter was written that was a clincher to the conversation. And this gentleman wrote that he had been married to his wife for 30-some years, and his wife had probably prepared about 32,000 meals in their married life together, and that he couldn't for the life of himself remember the full menu of any one of those meals. And then he went on to write that if she had not fed him with those meals, he probably would have been physically dead. And so it is with worship. If he had not been nourished and fed by those sermons, he would have been spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. We come to worship to be fed, even as we come to worship to praise God. In the scripture reading from last week, Jesus was visiting the Samaritan woman at the well, and there's a conversation in there about worship. And in that conversation, Jesus says that we are called to worship in spirit and in truth. To worship in spirit and in truth. To worship in spirit means that we come not to be passive observers in this Sunday morning service, but we come to be active participants. We come to offer our praise. We come to sing in gratitude. We come to pray together. We come to hopefully keep the focus on God and not on ourselves. We worship God in spirit. We come with the right spirit. We come to listen to the Holy Spirit. And to worship in truth means to hear the word of God proclaimed, to hear that truth each and every Sunday so that we can hear what it is that God would speak to us. So we worship in spirit and in truth. Kevin Mays, in an article entitled, "What Does It Really Mean to Worship in Spirit and Truth?" Would remind us of this. The emphasis in true worship is on giving, not receiving. Those who complain that the singing is uninspiring, the sermons are dry, dull, and dusty, and the service is boring, etc., often do so, I'm convinced, because they have missed the fundamental essence of what worship is all about in the first place. I fear that our microwave mentality of our convenience-crazed society has crept into the souls of Christians to such an extent that we want a fast food faith and a remote control religion. Now, I'm certainly not defending sloppy singing, sorry sermons, or shabby services. But when it comes to this thing called worship, if we are thinking more about me, myself, and I than we are about God, we have gotten the cart before the horse, and things will never be what they ought to be until we change that. The emphasis in true worship is on giving the best we have, not the leftovers. It is only when we come to realize that worship is a selfless act of giving, and when we give selflessly to our God, that worship will be the meaningful experience for us that we and God want it to be. The person whose primary concern is what's in it for me does not understand what worship is all about. Worship is about our opportunity to praise God. It's not about feeling entertained. It's not coming to performance. It's about participating in praise so that we might worship in spirit and in truth. In the Protestant denominations, the highlight of any worship service is to hear the word, to hear God's holy word, and then to have the word proclaimed. There are many other places where we can hear that, in small groups, in Sunday school, in Bible study, in holy conversations that we have with others, when we seek to understand the meaning of what God would say through our scriptures. Bob Crossman, in his book Committed to Christ, tells a little story that a colleague of his shared. And I think it helps us get to the meaning of what it is to hear God's word. It's a little short story, and it's about a woman who is driving down the road one day, and she rolls down her car window, and she yells to the car in the lane that would be passing her, and she yells out, "Pig! pig. Now, the driver in the other car rolls down his window and starts yelling obscenities back to this woman who has yelled pig. And then he rounds a corner and he runs headlong into a big, huge hog. Now, he wasn't hurt in that accident. His car was totaled. But his meaning of pig and her meaning of pig were two different things. Sometimes when we hear worship, when we hear scripture, do we hear what we want to hear, or do we hear what God would speak to us? Do we hear what we want to hear, or do we hear the truth that God would speak to us? It's important to have a time to check that with others, to have conversation about knowing the truth so that we can worship in spirit and in truth. The focus for this week's sermon is service and witness. If we don't gather, it's in our study of Scripture and it's in our gathering and worship that we are compelled to hear again that we are called to serve Christ. As I mentioned to the children, whenever we serve someone else, we are serving Christ. And we are called as followers of Jesus to do that in our everyday life, to serve others so that we might serve Christ. It's also true that out of worship and Scripture, we hear that call again to share our faith, to be committed to witnessing. That comes very hard for most of us, to go out and tell others, either through words or through our actions, what it is that God means to us. Kevin Myers, our youth director, has been working with our youth. He, as you know, he's got a great group of kids, and he's been talking to them about how you share your faith stories. And first he had them share their faith stories just with each other. What do they know about God? How does God work in their lives? And it opened up a way for them to start to talk about God. More recently, he's been having the youth read this book, I Am Second. I Am Second. And I want to share with you part of the words from the introduction. Becoming second isn't the journey of perfected saints or of superhero believers. It's the honest, raw, and often painful journey of broken people who have decided that life is not about them. It's not about what they want or about what they can do. Some have tried money. Others have tasted pleasure, success, beauty, family, or religion. They all tried something to calm the ache in their soul, to find purpose, love, or happiness. But whatever they tried and whatever they were looking for, they only found it when they surrendered and said, I am second. I am second. Second is a simple concept. It summarizes all that Jesus taught, all that he lived, and all that he expects from those who claim his name. God is first, and others are before ourselves. That is the motto and manifesto that seconds live by. It brings no guarantee of health or wealth, and it makes no promise to take away troubles and trials. Some may describe the rewards of such a life as less tangible. Some may describe the rewards, but a smile on your face when the lights go out and a peace in your heart when the storm rages is much more real than any dollar bill or any quick pleasure. Most recently, Kevin and the youth have been videotaping the I Am Second stories. And so this morning, we have kind of a collage of their I Am Second stories. So hear the witness of our youth. This morning, I'd like to offer our pastoral prayer before our hymn of response. So let us pray. Holy God, we thank you that you remind us always that you long to be first in our lives. Help us, O Lord, to be committed to living a life that would keep us second with you first. Help us always to see the needs of others before we look to our own needs. And help us always to witness to your great love by loving others in return. We thank you, O Lord, for the opportunity this day to hear the voices of the youth and how they are committed to following you. May they truly be an example for us as we live out our daily lives. As we gather here as a community of faith, O God, we are reminded that you have called us to reach out to the world around us, to call others to follow you as well, and may we be committed to that purpose in our living. As we gather as well, O Lord, we lift up to you on strong arms of faith those who need to know your care, your love, and your grace. We come to you, O Lord, you who are our great physician, and we pray for all those who need to know your healing embrace. We thank you for answered prayers and for restored health. But we continue, O Lord, to pray for all those who continue to recuperate from surgery, those who are undergoing treatment and therapies, those who are facing diagnosis of disease, those who are looking in the days ahead to possible surgery. O Lord God, we pray not only for our loved ones, but we pray for the doctors, the nurses, the technicians, the therapists, all those who, through your wisdom and guidance, bring healing into our world. And we pray for the caregivers and the families as well, that you would strengthen them, O Lord. We come to you and we offer our gratitude and praise for the gift of new life, for births and for anniversaries and for the celebration of love. We know, O Lord, that these are all blessings that you bestow upon us. And we come, O Lord, and we remember those who have lost loved ones. We know, O God, that your Holy Spirit is the great comforter. And we pray now that your peace that is beyond our human understanding would surround those who mourn this day, offering them your comfort and your care as they miss their loved ones. O Holy God, as we gather here in safety and security, we are reminded of your children around the globe that do not know that gift. We pray for those where illness is ravaging their country. We pray for refugees. We pray for those places that are war-torn. We pray for your children that seek clothes, security, and food. And we pray, O Lord, that we would always be mindful of the needs of others and that we would do our utmost to reach out to them. Help us never to forget your children in need that are so much a part of your world. O Lord God, this day we pray that you would strengthen us for the journey and continue to be with us as we commit our lives to you. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.